following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning. How are we doing? We're doing well? Yes? Sort of? Okay. That's fine. I won't ask why. I know why. Sorry, enough hockey. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm really glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. So we are now in week 3 of our Reclaiming Grace series. So engaging in stories and in the declaration that we read in Scripture of God's grace. In our first week, we looked at why grace. Why should we talk about grace? Why are we going to spend these 4 weeks on grace? It's pretty basic. We get it. It's there. Do we really need to take a whole series to look deeper into it? And the simple answer to that is yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It is basic, but that means that it's also foundational. It is core to who we are as Christians, core to who God is, core to who Jesus is. And so we need to understand that grace. We need to live into that grace more as we seek to follow him. We also know that grace in the Bible cannot be avoided. It is there hundreds of times. And so to engage fully in the Word of God, we have to engage in God's grace. We also have a couple of reminders from verses in that first week of why it is we're talking about grace specifically now. The verse from 2 Timothy 2:1 tells us, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Knowledge and living into God's grace strengthens us in our knowledge of who Jesus is and in the way that we live our life and the way we relate with God. And then the Hebrews 12:15 verse tells us, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." As followers of Christ, grace strengthens us. And as followers of Christ, we are called to make sure that no one falls short of that grace. And then last week, we looked at the good news of grace. We looked at grace that is explained to us by Paul in the book of Romans. Specifically, we looked at chapter 3, verses 21 to 26, which is a section that Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, actually calls central to the whole Bible. Central to the Word of God is this section. And it talks about grace that is freely given to all who fall short of the glory of God, to all that sin. And that's all of us. And that is good news. And then we also looked at a story that emphasizes that good news in a way that we can relate to, a way that we can understand through this story. Through Jesus' words in the parable of the prodigal son. And there we read about a father who runs to offer grace to his son. And this is a son who wanted nothing to do with him. A son who had basically declared, "Dad, I wish that you were dead. I just want your money." He ran off. He sinned against his father. He sinned against God. And then he returned. And at that point, the father ran to his son to embrace him. And we learned last week that culturally that's not something men would do. They don't run. They walk in a dignified manner. And this father threw dignity aside and embraced the grace that he was given through God and shared it with his son because he wanted to show his love, because he was so overjoyed that his son had returned that he wanted to show him grace. The good news of grace, indeed. Today, we're going to look at a little bit different aspect of grace. We're going to talk about a world that is thirsty a world athirst for grace. We'll talk a little bit about the world around us here in BC and a little bit about the world kind of globally. Some different stories that have come up recently. The way that the world, the way that people are thirsting for something. And I'm convinced that they are thirsting for God. So let me pray for us this morning and we can dive in together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be together. And God, we thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that we meet you here in this place today, that we hear from you, that we hear the words that you want us to hear, that we hear the words that you need us to hear, God. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So a world, people, athirst for grace, for something. This isn't something that's new, that has just sort of popped up in Western culture in the 21st century or recently. People have been searching for something more since the very beginning. Adam and Eve were searching for something more. There was a thirst for them in the garden. And they tried to quench it in the wrong way. In our psalm that we had read earlier today, Psalm 4, it speaks about delusions and seeking false gods. The progression of trying to quench this thirst, trying to fill an emptiness through things that ultimately do not satisfy. It is in the beginning of the word, the beginning of the world. This isn't something that's new. And so for our sermon text this morning, we're actually going to look at Acts chapter 3, and we'll be in verses 1 through 10. So I'll invite you to turn there now in your Bibles. If you don't have one and would like one, either for today or to keep, please raise your hand and one of our ushers would be happy to bring you one. So we're in Acts. Wow. Well played. Oh, thank you. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Peter says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." So we have here a man who was born lame. He had folks carry him to this gate, probably at specific times of high traffic, like here in the afternoon, when folks are on the way into the temple for afternoon prayer. He obviously couldn't work, and so the way he survived was to rely on the generosity of other people. And it was a generosity that was put on the people by the priest. There is an expectation of the people to care for the poor. And so he sat there with sort of a hope and an expectation that he would get a coin here, a couple coins there, and that would be the way he would survive. I'm sure it was an incredibly difficult life, a life of relying on others, not just for the money that was given to him, but also to be carried here to this gate. Always, every day. And so he's there again this day, the same as every other, sitting by the beautiful gate, waiting, looking at people, and asking for money. He's asking for the most basic thing that he can think of that will quench the thirst that he has. Money. He sees money here as the answer to his thirst. Money as the great need and then the solution to his problems. That doesn't sound all that unfamiliar to us in our world today. Assuming that thirst can be quenched by money. But we also know that that's not all that people try to quench their thirst with, right? Narcotics, relationships, both healthy and unhealthy, all kinds of different things people try to quench their thirst for, with. As I'm working on sermons, you probably know by now that I like to have stories. Like I'm an illustrations person. I like to see the way the Word of God plays out in our lives today. And so I was racking my brain trying to come up with some sort of specific example of this, how this is played out. And I don't think it's a particularly difficult thing to find. I think we have examples of people who are thirsty for something more in our lives all the time. But I was having a really hard time coming up with that specific example that I was like, yes, this is it. This is exactly what God is giving to me and where he wants me to go. Until I went to a Toastmasters competition on Friday night. At this competition, there were 7 speakers. 6 of them were competing in the speech contest. The 7th was a test speaker for the people competing in the evaluation contest. If you want to hear more about that, you can ask me after. But so these 6 speakers competing in the contest had won their club speech competition. So the clubs are usually in the 20-ish people range. Then they placed 1st or 2nd in their area contest. And so that was 4 to 7 or so clubs were in each area. And so now they had arrived here at the division contest. And so that was another 3 areas that were all together. So essentially, it was the city of Surrey that was here in Toastmasters at this competition. And so these are some of the best Toastmasters speakers in the city. And one key theme stood out from all of these speakers. And that was searching for something, being thirsty for something. It was almost as if there was a theme that was picked for this competition, which there wasn't. These were separate speeches that had been crafted along the way weeks ago for the local club competitions. But these were the speeches that hit home for people at the clubs, at the areas, and they were delivered with such power and with such enthusiasm that they moved on to the next level. These people were thirsty for something. The first speaker told a story about a trip that she took with a dear friend. And one of the key moments of the speech referenced sitting around a campfire in South Africa with a stranger that they had met on a hike, talking about deep existential questions. They, all 3 of them, were searching for something. Searching for something more than what they were just doing there. And they were trying to fill this void through travel, through seeing the world, meeting new people, engaging in new experiences. But the thirst wasn't quenched. The second speaker talked mostly about her Toastmasters experience. She talked about the confidence it gave her, the way that she had grown, the ways that she wanted to improve. For her, it was kind of this thirst for improvement, thirst for getting better at something that she has tried to fill through Toastmasters. And it has given her some more confidence and some improvement, but there's a thirst for more. The third speaker himself was not on the same kind of quest for discovery that the other speakers were, but he talked about a world that is athirst. He talked about the birth of the internet and the way that the internet has changed the world, the way that people have connected in incredibly complex ways across the globe, but that has affected face-to-face interaction. So people are seeking this greater connection, and yet they're losing the connection that's there in front of them. He also talked about how the internet has enabled people who are searching for facts, for answers, for information, to have all of that at their fingertips in a way that has never been seen before. He talks about a world that is thirsty for connection and a world that is thirsty for information and for fact. The fourth speaker talked about being lost as a child. This guy is a phenomenal speaker. He's the one who went on to win. He talked about getting lost as a child. He was looking in a department store window, and his mom was wearing a red coat, and he saw out of the corner of his eye the red coat disappear, and so he chased after the red coat, tapped the red coat on the shoulder, and found that it wasn't his mom. So he was pretty freaked out and rushed back and was wrapped up in his father's arms, who said, "It's okay, you're here now." And he talked about this desire to be someplace, from going from being lost to being found, to being wrapped up in arms of warmth. He didn't talk about it explicitly because you're sort of not supposed to a ton in Toastmasters, but I know that he's a Christian guy, and so there was that sense that came through it the whole time. It reminded me so much of the song that we sang this morning, Your Arms. Your arms? Your hands. Yeah. Yeah, it's part of that. But this thirst to go from being lost to being found by someone, being wrapped up in someone's arms. The fifth speaker, and this was actually the third time I had heard her speech, and it's powerful every time, but she talks about her big why for living, for doing everything that she does. She talks about her dreams and what motivates her, the past that she has come from, and wanting to put that aside and step into something new. And she has searched along the way for random ways, she'll say, of filling that void. And then the final speaker talked about being thirsty for a hero, for a role model, for someone to model his life after, for someone to look up to. Even as an adult, looking for someone, you could say, oh yeah, this is someone I can hold up as, you know, as inspirational. He, I think, both somewhat truthfully but also humorously used a couple of failed examples of, like, Lance Armstrong. He was so excited for Lance Armstrong to be his hero because he wasn't a doper. And then he was. And then Tiger Woods, who has his clear failures. Then the third hero he talked about was Terry Fox, who certainly didn't let him down as a hero. But there's also an understanding that there was more. He talked about sort of the hero inside each of us, and there's a thirst to grow into and to live into who he is created to be, and he wanted folks to engage in that. All of these speeches were about searching for something more. And these are all speeches that connected with people on a really deep level. People understand it because there's a common thirst for something more, a thirst for a fuller life, a life full of meaning, beyond just the basics of food and water and shelter. Changing the context a little bit, if you've had a chance to talk with the TDs after they've returned from their trip to Myanmar a few weeks back, you've probably heard about the many Buddhist temples that they visited. I remember very distinctly Kristen sharing about that trip at our last council meeting. And when I mentioned that there was going to be this series on grace, she talked about how excited she was for that because it stood in stark contrast to the life that lacked grace in Myanmar. How desperately these people were in need of grace. Maybe you've seen pictures of some of the beautiful and elaborate statues and temples in Myanmar and in the surrounding countries. And what you may not know, and I certainly didn't know until Kristen shared this, is that some of the gold that covers those statues is actually placed there by these followers of Buddhists. And they could buy them in these like little gold leaf sheets that were like this big? Yeah? Smaller? Like an inch by an inch. These tiny little sheets that allowed people, even the poorest of the poor, to be able to buy one sheet at least in their lifetime. And they were expected to place these little gold leaf sheets on these statues as a way to pay homage to Buddha in order for their life to be better, perhaps in order for future lives to be better. So it was a life kind of full of expectation and working constantly to try and achieve better, but without any grace at all. It's a whole life lived thirsty for the next thing, for the better life, and hoped, a life that is hoped to be achieved by these tiny offerings to Buddha. And this is the same kind of thirst that the man sits at the beautiful gate feeling, a thirst for more. But he has no idea how to fill that, how to quench that thirst. So he begs for what he can grasp, for what has been presented to him, what he can receive from other people, money. But of course, that isn't what Peter and John have for this man, because that's not all Jesus has for this man. Jesus has more for him, and so they have more for him. Peter and John engage this man's petition for money by valuing him as a person, by looking at him, by speaking with him, and then by responding to his request. They redirected this man from looking at the basic, the need for money, and explained to him that they indeed have something far better in store for him, something that comes from Jesus Christ. Peter and John introduced Jesus as the one to quench his thirst. But not just the minimal thirst of some measly coins, but the real thirst, the underlying thirst, the thirst that keeps this man from living a full life. Peter and John, by the power of Jesus, heal this man, and they give him a new life. They introduce him to Jesus Christ, and they help him to his feet. His thirst is quenched in a way he never thought possible. His thirst is no more. It begins not with just walking, but jumping and praising God. Everything has changed for him. Everything. Not just the need for money, but the need to beg in the first place. Now he can work. Now he can get around. Now he can no longer be this object of pity who sits outside the gate hoping to be able to look people in the eye as they pass through. In the grace and healing that is offered him in Jesus Christ, he becomes an incredible witness for the power of the living God. Just like this man outside the beautiful gate, the world is athirst. Thirsty for God. Thirsty for grace. And in that knowledge, the words of Hebrews 12 really loom large. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. We live in a world that is thirsty for grace. Let us see that responsibility, as huge as it is, and seek to live out that grace every single day. Holy God, God of grace, we lift up our world to you, a world that is thirsty for you, whether they know it is you they are seeking or not. Lord, help us to recognize people athirst and to be your hands and your feet and to share your grace with the world so that we can share the living water of your Son, Jesus, and so that we can also live in the knowledge that water, that water quenches all thirst. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.